Welcome to Real Christianity, a weekly show designed to help Christians know their Bible, defend their faith, and truly understand what it means to follow Jesus. The premise is simple. The culture is getting louder. The church is getting flashier, but few pastors are teaching on how to live a biblical life. My name is Dale Partridge, along with my incredible wife, Veronica. Join us as we start an important conversation about what it really means to be a Christian. Welcome to Real Christianity. Today we are talking about...
Is it important to go to church every Sunday?
Good question. And we get it quite often, and we're going to answer that in this episode. But first, before we get started, a couple things I wanted to remind you of. One is that if you want to listen to the show again, you want to watch the video, because this is a YouTube video that we have for you every single week if you're just an audio listener. If you want to get the show notes, you want to see the quotes that we said, the scriptures that we referenced, just go to relearnchurch.org/listen, and you could find this episode there and have all that information available to you. The next thing is I have another book coming out on September 3rd, 2019, titled Real Christianity. And it's going to be, I'm just excited about it. It's a small book. It's literally... like 5x7, so very small.
If you enjoy this podcast at all, you're going to enjoy that book.
Yeah, and it's a really short book. It's only 14,000 words, which is like, you can read it in an hour and 10 minutes. It's very short. But it's coming out September 3rd. If you want to be a part of the launch team, or if you have a podcast that you want to interview me on, or some sort of media outlet, I would love that. But we need to put together a launch team of about 100 to 200 people. And if you want to be a part of that, just go to relearnchurch.org/launch and you'll get there. The last thing before we jump in is, if you haven't left a review already, would you guys please leave a review? We are just about, maybe even we are past 3,000 reviews. We've been kind of at 2,900 for a little bit here. I think everybody that listens mostly that's like, hey, we're here giving reviews. But if you haven't left a review yet, which makes sense because we have about, I think last I looked, 140,000 downloads per month. So we have a lot of people listening to the show every single month and a part of this community, which I really appreciate. But if you haven't left a review, would you do that? You could just tap the stars in iTunes. You don't even need to write anything. But if you do write them, I read them. And I've actually read every single review. So thank you for those, and they are helpful. Okay, we're diving in to this. I'm going to take the first little section for, 7 minutes, and then Veronica's going to hit a little section for about 5 minutes, and then I'll close it up for about 5 minutes. It's a pretty short show, I think, today. But who knows? We could just go off on a tangent.
We'll see.
Okay, so it's a common question. You know, is it important for people to go to church every Sunday? You know, why? Like, why is it important? Why is that so critical? And I'm going to break this down for you. It's a common question for members of the modern church. It's actually a question that reveals what I believe is the sad state of the Western church. You know, when the church becomes a place to go and consume something instead of a people to join and contribute something, Christians only see their absence on Sunday affecting them. And so we kind of got a distortion of how we should be viewing church right now in America. And this is why they ask the common question, you know, is it important that I go to church every Sunday, that we as a family go to church every Sunday? They're viewing their attendance or their absence as only affecting themselves. Therefore, you know, if they choose to go or choose to stay home, it doesn't affect anyone else, right?
Yeah, it shouldn't be a big deal.
Yeah. That, mm-hmm. So that's how we're viewing church. And it's first, it's very self-focused, very independent and individualistic thinking right there, is that we're just about me. If it's just about me, why do I need to go? And so we're viewing church not biblically, but culturally. And that's actually the church's fault in terms of the way that we've
trained up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. By the way that the church operates. It has very little to do with the Bible. Second point I want to make is America has made church centrally a place to consume information. And if that's what it really is, it's like a weekly conference center. If that, you know, just a place to consume information, why go on Sunday when you can get that same information from the weekly podcast or the live webcast? Like, why would you go? I mean, if we're just using logic here.
Right.
And for like convenience, and America is a convenience culture. And this is why many Christian families have kind of limited their attendance or their commitment to the Sunday church gathering. It's hard to get to church with little kids, and on Sunday you just want to rest and you want to, you know, that those are all desires of the flesh. Right?
Or you want to go out and have fun.
You want to go out and fun. It's a free day. And so, like, church just gets thrown on the back burner. And again, ultimately, if church is simply a weekly event presenting information which is recorded for later consumption, of which I am an inactive spectator, whether I attend in person or online, why should I make it a priority for me and my family to physically attend on Sunday? You know, what's the value of my body being present at the Sunday church gathering if I can do the exact same thing at home, which is listen to a handful of worship songs and a sermon? Now, that is a good question, because what we've done is we've really created that experience. We've created audience Christianity.
Yep.
And again, it has nothing to do with the Bible. And so it's a very sad state of the Western church today, and we're going to break that down. Before we look at what the Bible says about church and our attendance to that gathering, let's contrast that with someone like Veronica, who I believe has a scripturally accurate understanding of church. And I just want to ask her, why is it important for you to attend the weekly church gathering?
Yeah. This is interesting, because years ago, before we were even in a biblical church, I would ask myself the same question. I liked to sleep in. I admire my sleep very much. And so
this is before we had kids. We'd like to just sleep in now.
Yeah. Amen. Right. Okay. But today it's so evident as to why I would prioritize Sunday morning fellowship, going to church, meeting with the saints. So when I heard this question, I put together a few points that I wanted to share. First and foremost, because scripture tells us not to forsake the meeting or forsake the gathering of ourselves together. Mm-hmm. It's super important that scripture tells us to come together as the body of Christ, mm-hmm. and to bear one another's burdens. And how are you going to do that if you're not at fellowship or at your church, knowing what people's burdens are? Mm-hmm. So that's a big one. And then second is, because it's a gathering of your closest relationships, at least in our case,
yeah.
We do home fellowship, as a lot of you guys know. That is where you get to walk out the one another's, which yep. is, you know, kind of what I mentioned. You get to find out what someone's burden is, and
need
then you get
is.
To walk out the one another's of the script that the scriptures talk about.
Yep.
So this is why I think, in my opinion, that House Church has been so fruitful for us, at least. It's not 400, couple thousand people in one room. It's 10 to 15, maybe 20 families together that you get to do life with. Mm-hmm. You get to know them deeply. You get to see their family. You get to see how their marriage is and how their relationship with their children are. So why would you not want to prioritize a gathering where all of your closest relationships would be? I would say that because it's not, at least in our case, not just a gathering of all these random people, it is isn't a gathering of strangers. It's a gathering of
people you love.
Yeah. Our people we love and we care about deeply. And that's a place to check in with them. Not, I mean, you can check in with them consistently during the week as well, but
yeah. Well, I think about when people ask this question, why is it important to go to church every Sunday? It's revealing that they don't have the relationships there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because you only ask that question when you're going like, why do I, what you should be saying is it really important that I go to that Christian conference every Sunday with all those strangers that I don't know? That's really what's being said in that question, because you don't ask that question when you have
You see the value in your presence being there.
Well, yeah. And you have lots of deep, committed, loving Christian relationships with everybody that's there and a small, deep, rich community of people. Like there's no way you would ask, why should I go to that?
Right.
You know?
Yeah. There's a quote that I hear you often say is the church shouldn't be 10 feet wide and 1 inch deep. It should be 1 inch wide and 10 feet deep.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately the Bible calls us to all of these relational duties that can only be accomplished in a small group of people.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is why big churches with lots of people don't feel close, or they don't see the value in attending church, because why go to church when I don't connect with anyone? I just, again, I can listen to the sermon later and just go home.
Yeah.
So there's that. And then the third reason is because God has a work to do in me and through me on Sunday mornings.
Mm-hmm.
I don't go just to receive. That should not be your heart, to go to a church just to receive or see, receive and get poured into. That's important too.
It's part of it.
It's part of it. Yeah. I'm not there to be a passive spectator. I'm there to be an active participant. Mm-hmm. And so it's where I can hear people's prayer requests. Again, the one another's, bearing one another's burdens from people in our community. I get to encourage other mothers and wives and have people pray over our family, or, and I get to share as well, mm-hmm. things that we might be struggling with or whatever it is. And it's busy, and it can be sometimes really overwhelming, especially for somebody that's an introvert like myself. But it is the most fruitful thing that I have ever seen and actively have had played out in our lives and in my life. And then lastly, we've made the church about entertainment or infotainment, as Dale likes to call it, that if people aren't amused and they're not entertained and they don't see the, then they don't see the value, and then they just leave.
Mm-hmm.
Again, church is not a place to go to be entertained.
Mm-mm.
It's not a place to just be poured into. That's a part of it.
Yep.
Again, but that's not all it's for.
And again, the church in America has sadly turned it into that. It is a one-sided monologue. It is not a dialogue. And I think Francis Chan says this great quote. Let me pull it out of my brain. We need to make church less like going to the movies and more like going to the gym. And I thought that's a good
quote.
Yeah. So,
yeah. So it's not about what can I receive? It's also about what can I give, and how the Lord may use me in that day to minister to the body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To presume why should I go is again, revealing that you believe that you're not going to be used in any capacity.
Yeah, there have been times at fellowship on Sunday where somebody, or maybe I was struggling with something or whatever it is, having, you know, a harder week, whatever it is, and somebody just said a little bit of an encouragement to me or brought something to my attention that I may not have seen before, and it really blessed my life and impacted my life, at least for that week, and changed my thought pattern or perspective. And had that person taken the position of, I just don't want to go to church today.
Mm-hmm.
Like, no, they did their work greatly benefited and blessed my life.
Yes.
By them ministering to me. And it's vice versa. We all have something to bring to the body.
Hey everyone, thanks for listening to this episode. We wanted to quickly tell you about our 6-week online marriage mentor program at our companion ministry, ultimatemarriage.com.
Yeah, Dale and I designed a powerful biblical curriculum with 6 themes, one for each week. Here's how it works. Every 7 days, Dale and I release a 45-minute video lesson on that week's theme, plus a weekly marriage challenge PDF for you and your spouse to incorporate those teachings directly into your marriage.
Yeah, it's an incredible program where we cover everything from sex and money to children and biblical roles. But more than that, it's also an incredible community. You'll have access to our private online group and the Ultimate Marriage text message line, where Veronica and I can send our regular encouragements and wisdom straight to your phone. The catch is this. We try to limit the number of couples in the program at one time to assure a quality and intimate experience. So if you're interested in joining the program, enroll now at ultimatemarriage.com. Again, that's ultimatemarriage.com.
So I rarely talk about what I'm about to talk about, but I want to mention it because I think a lot of people are going to be listening to this and they're going to say, I really want that. You know, relearnchurch.org is our ministry for helping people understand what biblical church is and how to help people plant churches. We are hoping to build a curriculum, an online church planting school, seminary level, but also lots of resources, which you already have lots of resources there too, but more and more resources for people to learn and understand biblical church so they can plant it. Church planting is regular Christian activity. This idea that we need to have a nonprofit and a seminary degree and a, you know, a smoke machine and a worship band, it has nothing to do with the Bible. And we can put together small biblical communities quite easily if we know what we're doing. I do believe that we need to be trained. And that's why an online church planting school is what we're trying to put together. But people, this stuff costs money to put together. Mm-hmm. Our ministry, to be honest, like it just barely pays our bills and a handful of hours from some independent contractors that work with us. And so, if you guys are blessed by this podcast and would like to be part of, you know, having access to that curriculum in 2020, we need people to be willing to be generous and give to the Lord's work in that. And the Lord has come through every single time, man. This past year has been so tough for us. And, you know, just last night, someone made a $500 donation. Like, I just go, praise God. Mm-hmm. But most donations are $5, $10, $15 every single month. You know, those things really help.
Yeah, they all add up.
Yeah, so if you can do $10 a month or $20 a month, like that's a big deal to us. And it really does give us security and stability so that we can go build stuff for the kingdom. And so if you're just a consumer of this content every single week and you can actually afford to give, which again, I believe everybody can afford to give, especially in America, in terms of, you know, the Lord is your provider. I just want to encourage you guys, we can't do this stuff without the funding to do it. And we'll be faithful with that money, but would ask that you would be faithful in giving. So moving on to this, the scriptural discussion around why should we go to church every Sunday? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to read you Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25. And remember that this statement was being written when, Nero was reigning and, he was burning people, all alive. They called Roman candles because he was burning Christians alive. Sorry, guys. This happens pretty often.
This is
often
like
now.
The third episode in a row it's happened.
We have a bug zapper. A bug zapper gets a bug in here.
Startles me every time.
We should probably turn that off.
We should do that next time.
So
why haven't we thought of that?
Anyways, King Nero is running and he's burning Christians and they're going and swarming into houses looking for Christians to kill and to persecute. And so, yeah, there's a pretty good reason to go, I don't know if I want to show up to that Christian meeting today. And then this scripture was written in that time. It says, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more, as you see the day, capital D, approaching. That means the day of the return of Christ. And so I want to point out a couple things he says here. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking. So he's saying, first, when you feel like you don't want to go, it's because you're thinking about yourself. When you consider others, You go, Lord, I'm going to show up not because I feel like showing up. I'm going to show up because I'm considering others. And I might have a work that you have in me to stir up love and good works in their life. And so, Lord, I'm going to be a vessel that is faithful and I will be there. I'm going to make a commitment. And so that's one thing I just go, that's what that passage is saying. That's why you don't forsake the gathering. It's your, what you're really saying is, Lord, I don't want to be used today to strengthen your body. I'm going to actually give in to my own desires and sit back home.
And hear us out. We're talking to the people that are taking that approach. There's definitely moments in time where you're sick and you physically can't go to church. But I would say this last year, his year and a half has been the hardest year and a half that we've ever walked through. And we've missed church maybe two or three times. And it's because we're legitimately sick or our kids are sick and we can't spread that. But trust me, there have been many times where we had sleepless nights. You know, I'm not going to church because my baby didn't sleep. You know, multiple nights in a row. I get that. But you can push through. You know, I mean, it just honestly evaluate yourself. Yeah.
There was one night years ago that I didn't sleep the entire night. I had insomnia real bad and I didn't sleep the entire night. And we were hosting church at our house. We switch houses for like every 8 weeks. And I actually called the guy that was discipling me, Matt Jacobson. I said, "Hey Matt, I didn't get any sleep last night. Would you be willing to lead the meeting today?" So I was gonna go, but I just didn't want to lead. And he goes, "Well, Dale, sometimes we get to be faithful even in imperfect circumstances. I expect that you'll be able to be a man of God that you can actually lead regardless of how tired you are." And I remember going, "Oh, dang, okay." And so I led that day with no sleep. I was faithful regardless of the circumstances, and I've taken that and learned from that.
Just have an honest evaluation of yourself. Where is your heart? Is it truly because you are exhausted and you just can't do it, or you're actually sick, or is it just because you just really don't feel like going and you're going to use the fact that you didn't get sleep as an excuse?
Totally. And this is a prioritizing of God's people and of God's work and of God's body. Mm-hmm. And we try to move all of our vacations and all of our times out of town away from Sunday. Like if we can, and we build that culture into our church, we have a very committed body.
Yeah, and sure. And if, you know, it doesn't work out that way, then it doesn't work out that way. But we definitely try. We'll leave even Sunday night or Monday morning and come back Saturday or Sunday, get back early enough so that we were there for church.
Totally. Yeah. And so again, we don't want to become legalistic about it, but it's one of those things where you just love God's people so much and God's work so much that you want to be there. The word exhort means strongly encourage. And it says, but exhorting. So one, it says not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as is the manner of some. Like some people, they forsake the gathering. But instead, exhort one another. So strongly encourage one another. You're there to encourage people.
Like what Matt did with you.
Exactly. Yeah, he exhorted me. And so much more as you see the day approaching. The next scripture I want to read that's important for, I think, just the understanding of ecclesiology, which is ecclesia as the church and the study of the church, ecclesiology. Ephesians 4:11 through 13. He says, and he himself, as in Christ, he himself gave some, these are called the fivefold ministries, to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. And so these are all ministries, not spiritual gifts. They can be kind of construed as both, but these are different ministries. He gave some apostles that have apostolic ministries, some prophetic ministries, some evangelistic ministries, some pastoral ministries, some teaching ministries. Spiritual gifts are Ephesians 12 and some other spots, but, or sorry, 1 Corinthians 12. And then it says, for this is the reason that he gave us these fivefold ministries. For the equipping of the saints is what it says, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So I'm going to read this one more time so you can hear it all at one point. I'll stop interrupting my own line of thought here. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So again, why does he do this? There's two points, he says, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. the purpose of the church gathering is for the equipping of the saints for the purpose of ministry. So when Veronica and I come to church and this church gathering, we get together and we hang out with these people and these families, the Holy Spirit is leading this meeting and we're hearing this encouragement, exhortation, and teachings and revelations from other people and prayer requests. And we are being edified, which is to be built up. For what reason? Well, it's for our personal ministry. So we leave that meeting going, oh, and we all have a ministry. If you don't have a ministry, then you should question.
No, everybody has a ministry.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
It's just acknowledging it.
Yeah, and said, if you don't have a ministry, you should question if you're following Christ.
Right, okay.
Yeah, is what I'm saying, is that because we all have some ministry to do. And so we go on Sunday to be encouraged and go, oh, look, I'm being edified so that I can fulfill my ministry the rest of this week. And the second part is for the edifying of the body of Christ. And we are edified as a body being strengthened and bringing, and it says, till we all come to the unity of the faith, we're being unified. That's why we do communion together. It's this symbolism of our unity together. And the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. We're learning about the knowledge of the Son of God so that we could become a perfect man. This idea of anthropos, perfect, meaning like understanding the Word of God fully, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, to its completion. And so there's a lot going on. God doesn't put this stuff in the scriptures so that you can go, you know what, I don't really see the value of church. Now I do empathize. Because if you're going to a big church that is audience Christianity, inactive spectator Christianity, how much involvement can you have? It's designed to make you incapable of being involved. You're an inactive, passive spectator. You can't even participate. And so I understand that problem. Now, I'm going to say still remain faithful until you can put together by the leading of the Holy Spirit, in the training of the Holy Spirit. Don't just go and say, we're going to go plant a house church without being trained. I really, really say Jesus didn't go to his people and say, hey guys, I'm going to just talk to you guys about this really cool idea called the church, and then you guys are going to go just do stuff. No, he spent 3 years training them before he went out and did that. They went out and did that ministry. And so I just want to encourage you guys to be trained and read up and study up on that before you do that. We did a podcast just, I don't know, 2 or 3 episodes ago titled The 7 Criteria for Finding a Biblical Church. I would listen to that and see if how much of the criteria your current church meets. And if not, find an institutional church that meets most of those criteria while you're maybe considering, if you want to, if you feel called to, plant and establish a biblical community. And again, we're going to try to come out with more resources on this for you guys. Last point I want to make is based off of the idea that John Wesley made this statement. He said, the church changes the world not by making converts, but by making disciples. And the church's work, another reason why you come to church, is because you're there to be discipled. Now, sadly, most people aren't being discipled. They're being evangelized to, and Sunday has turned into an evangelistic outreach, not necessarily a focus on discipleship, where you walk away going, ooh, now I know the Word of God more. Now it's more like, oh, I've actually heard that message before. It's called lowest common denominator preaching. You preach to the guests because it's their first time here. And that the problem is that people that have been there for 10 years have heard these messages over and over and over again. They need meat. They're only serving milk, and you get this dilemma. And so you want to find, again, this church function where you can have a discipleship focus. If you focus on making disciples, you can't stop people from talking about Jesus. If you focus on making converts, you're going to create a church filled with immature believers who are swayed by their emotions and false doctrine. Mm-hmm. And so we need to, if you just focus on discipleship making, and the Great Commission people doesn't say, go therefore, make converts. It says, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I commanded. There's a lot of work to be done. It's discipleship making that we're supposed to be doing. That's the Great Commission. It's not evangelism. Evangelism is part of it. It's part of the ministry. You need to do that. Part of discipleship is evangelism. But we want to focus on the church, on a deep-rooted discipleship of people. Evangelism happens in everybody's personal ministries, out on the streets, walking around town, in your own personal life, in the dinners and the parties and the, you know, at the park and all these moments. I wrote this quote, and then I'll close us out here in regards to evangelism and discipleship. I wrote, "In our efforts to meet the needs of the lost, we are failing to meet the maturity need of the saved. The scriptures are clear. Some need milk and some need meat. The Western church is living on milk because we have made our time on Sunday centrally about the visitors, and in doing so have neglected the committed." So I understand if you don't want to come on Sunday and you've been a Christian for 10, 15 years. The content is milk. You're not getting a lot of deep, rich discipleship. You can't participate. They're strangers. We have a problem in the church. There's a need for church reform deeply. And we're working on that. Pray about just your heart in this posture. Stay committed, even though it might not make sense to you right now. The Lord will make a way to be used if you're faithful.
And also, just since you're still listening to this, if you could be praying for us too, as we're on this journey, trying to get these ministries and resources up. It seems like every time we take a step forward, Satan wants to attack us big time. And so just be praying for us that we would be faithful with what the Lord has called us to do, and that we would not grow weary doing good.
Oh, amen. Yeah, we fight a battle over here. It's like swimming upstream constantly. And so, yeah, we'd appreciate that. Show notes, again, at relearnchurch.org/listen. You can see everything that we talked about today. And if you want to be, again, part of our launch team for my new book, you guys can do that. Just go into relearnchurch.org/launch, and you fill out that form, and we'll get in contact with you. And if you guys would be so kind to leave a review of the podcast, they really do help the exposure of the show. On that note, we will
chat with you next week.
Yeah, see you guys next Wednesday. All right, guys, take care.
Hey, Dale Partridge here. I recently heard a disturbing statistic. Only 11% of Christians have read the entire Bible. Now, we can't wonder why the church is being influenced by the culture more than the culture is being influenced by the church. The vast majority of Christians don't know God's word because they've never read it. We cannot live out what we do not understand. So Veronica and I want to challenge you right now to read the Bible in 1 year. We've put together a basic 365-day reading plan that'll take you no longer than 20 minutes per day, and you can download it for free at relearnchurch.org/Bible. Again, that's relearnchurch.org/Bible. Thank you for joining us on this episode of Real Christianity. Real Christianity is an audio ministry of relearnchurch.org. If you'd like more information on how to live out a biblical life, relearnchurch.org hosts a variety of articles, podcasts, sermons, and videos to support your journey. Real Christianity is 100% listener-supported ministry, and if you'd like to support our efforts, simply click the Donate tab at relearnchurch.org. You can also connect with both Veronica and I on Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter for daily lessons and Bible teachings. Thank you for being with us today. We hope to see you next Wednesday for another episode of Real Christianity.